Okay, so this is a little piece. Yeah, that's good. This is a little piece of two-dimensional algebra. It's basically about abstract multicategories. So I will give you now a little brief reminder of what I mean by the abstract theory of multicategories. But essentially, it takes place at three levels of abstraction. Okay, so they're the ordinary multicategories and sets, and the monadic junction with monoidal categories. Then there are the internal version relative to any Cartesian monad M in a category with pullbacks. And the more abstract and interesting one, as it were, is when we take a two monad on a regular two category, and then we can consider this. Okay? So just to remind everybody what the things are, multicategory has, if you want to think concretely, you can always think of multicategories of modules and multilinear maps. Okay, that's basically the primary example. So they compose these are the morphisms. And then we have the multicategory composition. That is the composite of that tree, okay? Now, these things arose like over 30 years ago for various reasons, but the reasons I consider them and several people have done so recently is because they give that first adjunction that taking a multicategory to the free monoidal category on it, not only is that's a monadic situation, but it's such that the pseudo algebras for that monad, which will be, but I mean monad there is a strict thing, okay? So the pseudo algebras for that will be the usual monoidal categories, and what the adjunction does is axiomatize them in a universal way, okay? So the point is that a multicategory, a monoidal, okay, so. I want to give you an explicit description of the first envelope so you can see how it works. So we have a multicategory . The envelope is this thing here. Now, that guy is a free monoidal category on this. So in coming back and forth, we have that the pseudo algebra for the rest. So here we have multicat. We have a two-monad T there. And it says that the pseudo algebras of T, luckily, Max reminded everybody what these things were just an hour ago. As such that a multi-category M has a pseudo-algebra structure if and only if the unit has a left adjunct. Okay? So in that sense, multi-categories give a universal axiomatization of tensors. That's the whole point. Okay. I don't think I'll need give you a explicit description of the more abstract things. So just think of this one is good enough. Okay. But you see, the point is that moving up in the abstraction ladder, you capture other things that you wouldn't think immediately of as multi-categories, so like pseudo functors into that, and the correspondence, the ground correspondence of that as being axiomatized over functors into C. So, okay. The point of that is, okay, so what I want to do is into this theory, beyond the basic abstract theory we have so far, coherent result, classification of laxity, etc., at the theory of vibrations, because it will give us a chance to see something a bit unusual, in the sense that, you see, multi-categories are formed two categories, so there's an obvious notion of vibration, which is a representable one. Okay, maybe I should remind you what the two thirds in these guys are, to see why this is not good. So if I have two multi-categories, functors within them are what you expect, okay, just morphisms of graphs preserving multiplication identities. Now, a two cell between them is just a linear morphism. Thus, by linear here, we mean the ones with singleton source, okay? And they satisfy a multinaturality condition, in the sense that if you compose with anything here. This thing commutes. Okay, so you see, it's very thick enough naturality square. Okay, so but basically, and this is really the right to self. I mean, the theory we have shows that that's the right to self to perform the kind of axiomatization we want. So you see, the point is, if I were to look at the functor saying that it's a representable vibration, you will basically have the lifting property only for linear to self. Okay, so that's obviously not strong enough for what you would expect a lifting of morphisms in multi-categories to do. So the good notion, and in fact, this is an envelope construction. So what basically what we're going to do is use the envelope to see what the right notion is. But okay, so I will give you the elementary naive notion and then say that is a good one. Okay. So okay. So what do you want to do? You want to leave these multimorphisms, okay? So we are given F and we are saying that F is, I will do the covariant version because it's easier to describe, but okay. So we are given F. It says that any other thing that projects over the same thing at the base factors uniquely to F. Okay, so it's a unique linear morphism G hat that factorizes G to F. Okay, now with that notion of co-Cartesianness, you define a covariant vibration to say that for every tuple of objects in the total category, multi-category, and anything in the base out of that, you have a co-Cartesian lifting. Okay? And the second condition, which is an important one, and the co-Cartesians are closed under composition. Okay? Those are the two conditions that define the covariant vibration, which is, you know, the naive notion. Now we see that actually is good. Maybe I should give you one example or two. Okay, so suppose C is, these are categories. So I'll give an example of a vibration to see that they also exist, although they are not as common or interesting as the covariant ones, as you will see in a minute. By the way, terminology is just covariant, not to clash with the current more popular use of model structures where co-vibrations are something completely different. But okay, so that's that will be what the Grundig school would call a co-vibration. Okay. Okay, so suppose we take a functor of categories, we can associate to this multi-category of cocons okay, so the morphisms are just tuples of morphisms of the category. Okay. So in particular, you see this category of discrete cocons will be representable in this sense, precisely when C admits products, okay, co-products. Okay, there will be a universal thing here, and that's just a co-product. Now, I claim this guy F is a vibration. See, so if the original functor is a vibration, this guy is a vibration too, and vice versa. Quite obviously, just do it one by one. No secret to that. Okay, so I will show you some more intrinsically interesting examples of these gadgets later. But first, I want to give you the characterization that we can work with. Okay, so this is how it works. So we are going to use, take into account, now I call F the envelope, okay? So if we have a functor of multi-categories, this is a covariant vibration. If the induced thing through the envelope is a vibration of categories, equally if it is a vibration of monoidal categories, a vibration of monoidal categories here means a one object version of a two vibration, which in this case will sound the same that the Cartesian liftings are closed in the tensor. Okay, that's a simple thing. And the final one is that you can go back to multicat and say that TP is a vibration now in the ordinary representable sense. Okay? So you see in the abstract situation I showed you at the beginning, you see, once we move out from set, the elementary definition doesn't tell us anything. So when you move to abstract situations like this, we need this characterization to have a working definition. So we can say take the second one as a definition of what the vibration or co-vibration should be in this case. Okay? Okay, so now let's see what we can do. Well, you know, given this, you can derive a number of standard properties just from usual vibrations in CAT, because that's what this does. So, you know, they are stable under composition and pullback. So in particular, the forgetful, the functor that takes organized vibrations as sub to category of squares, right? The forgetful taking the domain, the codomain, is a two vibration. Okay, I'll probably say a bit more about that later. Now, with this, also you can also prove the coherence results. But this is all sort of the standard things you expect. You can do in CAT, you can do them here. Now I'm going to show you some things which are intrinsic to the setting that are quite different from CAT. So that's in a way more the content of the talk. Okay, so, oh yes, I should give you the index characterization too. So we see how it looks. You see, the point is that the envelope construction, you know, if I want to follow what happens in ordinary in algebra, you would say that, you know, we think of vibrations as modules, okay? So you think the vibrations for a multi-category M should be the vibration for the envelope. Well, not quite. Not all of them are of the right shape. So let's see what happens. You see, if we have vibration of multi-categories, taking F gives me an ordinary vibration of categories, hence a pseudo functor from FBO to CAT. Okay? But then which pseudo functors correspond to these guys? Well, it's simple enough, actually. The vibrations over a multi-category B are the pseudo functors from the free monoidal category B to CAT, so that they are a strong monoidal. So they send the tensor to the product, up to ISO, the usual sense. Okay? So that cuts down which are the pseudo functors which come from vibrations there. In particular, notice that the discrete vibrations over B are the strong monoidal functors from FB up to the category set using products as a monoidal structure. Okay, so you see, in particular, these are not all the presheaves, but only just some presheaves. Okay, so now something intrinsic to this situation. This is, in a way, this was kind of an exercise for me to show this. The fact is, you see, when I developed the basic theory of representable multicategories, I tried to make it in parallel with the ordinary theory of vibrations as a guidance, okay? Later, when I found the more general situation, both correspond to instances of the same machinery. But in particular, I thought that, you know, in a multi-category, we think of the representables, meaning, I should say, to say what representable is, okay? So, you see, you have, remember, representability is the idea to axiomatize tensors, okay? So you have to have universal multilinear maps. That's the point. So we have given X, given a tuple of objects, X1, Xn, we should have a universal thing, which I'm going to call phi. Okay? So that any other morphism with source this bunch factors uniquely. Okay. Now, so when I was doing that, I think we all, I mean, starting from the work on Bice and Dolan, they started pushing the idea of representability to axiomatize higher dimensional notions. We tended to intuitively think of these things as we think for vibrations. But I thought there was, you know, this is just a single multicategory. It's not a thing as a base. Well, actually, there is a canonical base, which is a terminal multicategory. Okay? So, you see, what happens is for ordinary vibration, for categories, the forgetful to the terminal tells you absolutely nothing about C, in a sense. Okay? This is a discrete object, so this is a vibration and co-vibration. Okay? So any category is like that. Now, this is not the case with the multi-category. This functor gives you information about the structure of M. Okay? So in particular, a multi-category is going to be representable precisely when this guy is a covariant vibration. See, the terminal multi-category on 1 has a single object, but then for every tuple of objects has an arrow. So. So the universal multilinear maps are exactly the co-Cartesian listings of the arrows of this canonical base. So I'm going to give you now the abstract argument of this, because of course that doesn't apply, you know, the set theoretic argument doesn't apply to lax algebras in the abstract sense. So I can give you an intrinsic argument for this. So that's the theorem, right? The unique functor to the thing is a covariant vibration. Now, this is to show you where you use two vibrational properties I mentioned before. Okay, what do you do? You see, eta B is representable means the unit has Le Fachin, right? So I want to show that if I have a covariant vibration, this guy is going to be representable. Well, the base is clearly representable by a trivial way, so it has Le Fachin. But then this is a covariant vibration by assumption. This is also because of the categorization, T will give me another covariant vibration. And now the unit of these things, that's something I forgot to mention, but it's important, these are Cartesian monads. So the unit is a pullback, okay? This square is a pullback. Hence, by intrinsic to vibrational properties, you leave the action. Okay? So you see, that characterization does really work at the level of lax algebras and bimodals, okay? The converse, this is, okay, I give you, the proof is not particularly interesting. So I want to show that, I want to show that for any thing representable, the forgetful is a covariant vibration. Well, you see, for an ordinary algebra, because we are working, say, in CAT or representably in any two category K, that thing is a covariant vibration. Now, when I move back to abstract multicats by AU, I still have a covariant vibration. And now, any representable is by coherence, thanks to what Max reminds you, subjectively equivalent to the strict things of the form UX. So that's it. Okay. Now I want to give you another bunch of canonical examples of covariant vibrations. Okay. Which you might have seen before. So operators and their algebras. So the setting for operators is you have a monad. It would be a simplified kind of operator just to put the argument forward, but it works for the more general ones too. So you have a monoidal category with pullbacks, and assume that it admits a Cartesian-free monoid monad. Okay? So I can consider multi-categories in it. This is the second level of abstraction. Now, the point is that a non-permutative operator is exactly a one-option multi-category. Okay, so an operator is just a bunch of operations and close on their composition. So. Has trivial codomain, and the domain is simply the free monad and one. We can think of the natural numbers, okay? So this is the arity of the operations, okay? And now this has a multi-category structure, which means that you have composite operations there and units. Now, to that, one associates the following. This guy is a monoid. I'm probably hiding this from half the people, so can put it here. So this is a monoid okay. Now SpanM 1-1 is of course the monoidal category, is the object home category of a bicategory. So it acts on C, okay, because I can consider it as a trivial multispan. Okay, so the category C, any object of C lives here. So the main category C is here. This has an action on this. Okay, and now since I have a monoid here, this action will give me a monad on C. And that's basically what people take as a definition of algebras for an operator. Okay? But now let's look at what an algebra is, really. Is this, okay? This monad acts as follows, okay? You take an object A, apply M to the unique to the terminal, pull back, okay? And now you should have A, that's the algebra structure, okay? So what does it mean? You see, here you have an... So here you have an operation of arity N. And on top, you have a bunch of elements of A. Okay? This pair will be an element here, and now I have to give the action is simply the operation applied to the argument. Okay, so that's what it amounts to. But now if you look at these things, how it came out organized, remember the bottom one is just a one object multi-category, and now we have a span on top of that. And it's not difficult to see that the top part is a multi-category, again, okay? The unit and accessibility condition for the algebras make that top span a multi-category, and the commuting squares are a morphism, okay? It's a functor. Moreover, the domain part is a pullback, so that's actually just a discrete covariant vibration, okay? Corollary, the lax thing is, again, discrete covariant vibrations over the top multi-category. So this is somewhat related to what people using operators to describe multitops have used this kind of identification. It comes out in just two steps here. Okay, so that's as much as thing I want to tell about vibration. Maybe I have, what do I have, 5 minutes? I want to tell you about the second part of the title, which is UNS structures. Okay, this is to remind you, this is linear structures were introduced by Street and Walters. I'll tell you what it is and then I'll tell you what they're good for. So it's essentially this. We're going to work in an ambient to category K. You fix a left close class of arrows, which you call them admissible. Now, you say an object is admissible if the identity arrow is in this class. And now this is the data that makes this a Yoneda structure. So for every object, you're going to go the Yoneda arrow. Okay, this is the data. And now the actions are really nice. It's just expressing in terms of can extensions and liftings. So for every admissible morphism out of A, we have the left can extension along the Yoneda, okay? And the two other axioms, you recover F from that diagram. So high F is also a lifting diagram. So meaning giving Yoneda and BF1, you recover F as a lifting. Okay, and the final thing is a pseudo-functoriality condition, in particular that Yoneda is dense. Okay? There's a stronger version of this axiom 3, but it's not good for what I'm going to do in a second. So that's a Yoneda structure. The nice thing is, if you actually look at the paper, you can do all of basic category theory, say, a la MacLane, and quite a lot more, purely internally in a two category. You're only using those three axioms and two lemmas on lifting and extensions. It's really quite something. Okay, so if you have this, basically you can do all elementary category theory inside your two category. Okay? Now, the nice thing is that you can actually, I'm going to give you now a transfer result for Yoneda structures along Lanach junctions, and then we're going to use that to get one to multi category. Okay, it's just one slide. That's the final one. Okay. So the point is that, okay, with that junction, you can transfer the Yoneda structure from another categories given by the tensor product to multicat. Okay. So that's. So if you can. I'll finish here. So,